sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. Good morning, all y'all out there. Is that what we say here in Oklahoma? All y'all.
All y'all. All y'all.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Becky.
Mark Carr.
Oh, I like the way you say that. That was like with energy, with gusto.
I usually
I like
do
it.
Have energy.
You are.
Okay.
No doubt about that.
If I was given one thing, it was a lot of energy, right?
Right. Well, what you said, I think, earlier this week to me was, if I was a type of word, it would
part
be
of
a
speech.
Part of speech, you'd be a verb.
I'm
no
a verb.
No doubt.
Definitely.
You are action.
I'm an action word.
Yep.
Action woman. Well, we are here with a couple more action men.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm married to an adverb.
Jim is, that's true.
Jim's an adverb.
Jim's
he modifies
adverb.
Me.
He modifies you.
He is my supporter,
right.
Always has been.
Yeah.
And all my efforts, I will volunteer to do things that are, and I'll just be going, well, sure, we can do that.
Yeah.
We meaning, Jim, you need to help me with this. But he always does.
That's funny.
We are here with Dean Riddell and Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage.
NMLS number 196-895.
There you go. Matt, what's your number?
119-7740.
Oh, you didn't have a microphone in front of you. Right before we went on the air, we were playing musical chairs in here. I mean, everybody changed a chair and a microphone. I was going, whoa, my chair's low. And Mark goes, oh, my chair's high. And Dean Riddell sits over there going, well, my chair's just right.
Just right.
I'm good.
Yeah. Well, we're talking mortgages today, and what is the climate in the mortgage market, and things are changing. So if you know anybody getting ready to sell their house, you need to urge them to do it right now rather than wait 6 weeks, because the difference in their bottom line between now and 6 weeks from now could be quite a lot. Because Dean, I've kind of studied how many homes go on the market, the kind of the back end of statistics. And for about 4 months, we had about 50 to 60 homes a day in the central Oklahoma. We can't really even say the metro area, because our multi-list covers 9 counties. So central Oklahoma, we had 50 to 60 homes a day on average go on the market. That has, in the last 4 weeks, has doubled. So what are we looking at? Supply and demand. Mm-hmm. If the supply is twice as much, what happens to prices? They typically kind of go down a little bit. And the more that go on the market, then you got to look for buyers for those properties. Right now, we're great. We've got enough buyers for the properties that are going on the market. However, we're beginning to see foreclosures. Folks have lost their jobs. Folks have been on furlough for a long time. Unemployment benefits are running out. So, I mean, not all the doom and gloom, but, I mean, be prepared. If you're going to sell now so that you can get top dollar. Right. And then we go into the winter, and prices always take a little dip in the winter anyway. So it may be, I think we're super inflated right now in prices. Yeah. So how does that, the mortgage, how is that affected by our mortgage market?
Well, you look at, and I had a gentleman reach out to me yesterday. It's always kind of fascinating. I was telling my wife this. They refinanced their home with me 120 days ago. And out of the blue yesterday, he says, what would it look like if we were to purchase this $575,000 house? So a lot of things going on in my head. I'm thinking, why did we refinance 4 months ago if you were having thoughts to moving? But then I started running numbers for him, and it's fascinating what an interest rate world we are today, what it does to payment in a 575 world. Because in the old days, you know, that's a $3,500, $3,700 number potentially. It's a
pretty easily, yeah, because taxes and insurance go up quite a lot on
absolutely
that too.
And mm-hmm, I think it was a $2,700, $2,800 number, or you know, that I was quoting him based on today's 30-year rate, 2.78%. So it's crazy. You know, Becky heard me say that Matt and I both think now's the time to look. What am I going to do? Am I thinking about moving? Am I thinking about making a change? Am I thinking about refinancing? With rates where they are today, you got to look and see, you know, where am I going to go? What am I going to do?
Well, and kind of think a little bit more long term. I know that we talked to somebody this week who was thinking about moving, and then they thought, no, I just think I'll just go ahead and just remodel where I am. Okay. Which is nice. You like where you live, remodel, that's great. If you've got the cash to do it, because if you don't have the cash to do it, you're going to either have to have a cash out refinance, mm-hmm, or you're going to have to borrow secondary on it. And second mortgages always cost more than first mortgages. And then my experience is that I go out and talk to people, and I have for many, many years, and they think they decide to go ahead and, well, we've just decided we love our neighbors, we love where we are, and we're just going to remodel. Within a year and a half to 2 years after they remodel, they call me and I sell the house for them, because turns out they really did want that higher ceiling, the
new feature.
Sometimes a smaller yard, sometimes a larger yard. The reasons for their wanting to move to start with wasn't just because their house was out of date.
Right.
They wanted a more updated house. And you can remodel till the cows come home and not change your ceiling height, not change your window configuration. There's a lot that you can, there's a lot of updating you can do, but I will tell you, more than 9 times out of 10, I end up selling those homes for them. And then guess what? They don't get their remodel money all back out. They get some of it back out, and it sells well because it's updated. But they don't get it all back. In fact, they don't even get half of it back.
Right.
Because most of them don't remodel the things that matter to a buyer. They remodel things that matter to them, the owner, at the time. So that's a lot different. So if you're thinking about remodeling, think about moving and kind of creating that next step, because now if you remodel right now and then you decide to move in 2 years because you're going, well, we still want to move, what's the interest rate going to be then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be double, pretty easily could be double what it is right now.
And that's one of the things that Matt and I talk about with consumers. And we're fortunate, we're blessed that a lot of our clients are past clients or referrals from past clients. But we will commonly say, push your comfort zone just a little bit today in this rate environment we are.
Right.
So that you don't call us back in 3 or 4 years and want to do it again.
When it's double the interest rate, right?
5.5%. So, absolutely. So some people get a number stuck in their head. Yesterday I had a couple that was 220, she mentioned 220 to 250. And I said, there's a different house, different neighborhood. Of course, we know that. But I said, push your comfort zone just a little bit. If you settle in on 220, you could be calling me back in 3 or 4 years wanting to do this again. So my common phrase is, you know, hit a home run now, do it right. Push right that comfort zone so that you don't call us back for 7 to 10 years.
Right. You know, we have fixed rate mortgages, yet I get calls every year from folks whose payment goes up, and they are all upset because their payment goes up. If you know someone, or if your payment has gone up after you've mortgaged, you're on a fixed rate mortgage, tune in. We're going to talk about that right after the break. Come back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back. Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins. We are here in the studio juggling microphones. We don't know what's going on, but we're going to all just kind of get up and play musical chairs. If your microphone doesn't work, just run around the desk to another one. How's that?
I feel like we need to have that music going for the musical
chairs. I know, right?
Yeah.
Well, we are talking with our experts from SWBC Mortgage, Matt McLean and Dean Riddell. And we're talking about escrow accounts. We need to at least touch on this because I get calls from clients and friends every single year about February or March is when the escrow accounts are reevaluated, rebalanced, and their payment goes up. And it doesn't go up just a little bit usually. What happens? What does happen, Dean? What goes into an escrow account? What is an escrow account?
Well, it starts at inception. So think about it. When you buy a home.
Not conception, but yeah. Inception.
Oh, let's not die head down that road.
Yes,
let's back
okay.
That truck up.
So at the time of purchase, the lender is going to collect 3 months of taxes. So let's assume we're buying a home today. We're closing. We're going to collect 3 months of taxes from the buyer. Seller is going to give a tax proration for the time from January 1 through today's date, the 25th of July. So 6.5, almost 7 months of taxes from the buyer or seller is credited, goes to that escrow account, and we're going to collect 15 months of insurance because 12 months is going to be paid today. Insurance is going to be paid from July 25 of 2020 to July 25th of 2021. So what happens is, let's assume taxes today and the home is being bought and or purchased and the taxes are $2,400 a year based on 2019 taxes. Here comes January of 20, taxes go to $3,600 a year. Well, payment is based on 1/12 of that $2,400 number for taxes, 1/12 of that insurance premium, but taxes on that at year end December are $3,600. We've got a shortage. That's what the common verbiage is I've got an escrow shortage. Very seldom do you have an overage, but you can. So we're gonna pay as a lender that tax bill in December of $3,600. We're gonna reanalyze that escrow account in January that basically said your payment was set up on a projection of 1/12 of $2,400. The actual tax bill came in at $3,600. Most people can digest that a little bit. They understand they've got a $1,200 shortage, but the lender, we also got to project that same $3,600 for December of 21. So their payment change may be $150 a month, not just the $1,200 difference divided by 12 being $100.
Because you got to make up the shortage.
You got to make up the shortage and also handle the projection for the following year.
So when you close on a property, you set up a little savings account, a little escrow account, and your lender holds that for you. Mm-hmm. And you put in there, say you close today, the seller is going to give you the money to put into your savings account to pay taxes that are due in December.
Right.
However, people always ask, well, why am I paying the whole year's taxes when the tax bill comes in? Well, it's because a seller gave that money to you on your settlement statement. It's not real money that you get. It's real money, but I mean, it's not, you don't get the cash.
Right.
It goes into your escrow account so that when the bill comes due, there will be money to pay it. And sometimes there's always a little slush fund in there of a couple of months extra so that if it goes up a little bit, you're okay. If it goes up a lot, you're not so okay. And some counties do it differently. Some of the counties reassess the property valuation upon a sale. Now, Oklahoma County does it continuously, not just when a property sells. Some of the other surrounding counties do it like it stays the same, and they only do it once every 4 or 5 years. unless the property sells. Then they assess it at the higher price the property sold for. So that's why it can sometimes take a jump. And another thing that makes it take a jump is the senior freeze. Mm-hmm. So as a realtor, if you're out there listening as a realtor, and I know you are listening, some of you do, and I'm honored by that, by the way, that you would listen. But here's a little tip for you. Look at the tax sheet and see if there's a senior freeze. See if there is a double exemption. See if there's no taxes because the veteran is 100% disabled. In Oklahoma, you don't pay property taxes if you're a veteran with 100% disability. If you're 90% disability, you're paying taxes, and you're paying all the taxes. This is a pass-fail thing. It's not you get partial. But so if you have a senior freeze that's been going on for 15 years and the property value has not increased on the taxable value hasn't increased, the senior may be paying $1,200 a year in taxes, and your taxes could easily double when that property sells. So pay attention to that when you start doing your calculations.
Explain to our listeners what a senior freeze is. When does that kick in? What makes
the senior freeze? Okay. The senior freeze is you have to be 65. We need Larry Stein. Larry Stein, call
Larry
in and
Stein.
Explain to
yeah.
us the senior freeze. That's the assessor's job is the senior freeze.
Which we love Larry Stein.
Yeah, well, you have to be of a certain price, and I don't know the price range, but you have to be of a certain income range to get the senior freeze.
Okay. I knew it had so it has an age, and then it has an income.
Income level.
That you have to be at.
And then your property value doesn't go up.
Income limit, like a level or a limit, as in if you make more than X.
If you make more than X, you don't get the senior freeze. That's my understanding.
So you have to be over a certain age, and you have to be under a certain income level.
Right.
Per year.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And we have this, like when we're working with buyers looking at a house, they'll pull up the tax information and go, well, the value of this house is so much lower than what they're asking.
Well, there's two columns on that tax sheet. One is tax valuation. The other one is market value. The market value continues to go up. If market values are going up, it continues to go up. But they're charged, they're frozen on the value that they're paying taxes on. So that can make a difference on the escrow account. And in the escrow account, besides taxes and insurance, you buy insurance by the year on a house. On a car, you can buy it 6-month policy. On a house, you buy a year policy. They're not selling you 6-month policy. Now, you can cancel it and go with another company. But that policies are sold by the 1-year policy. And then you have to pay a couple months or 3 months extra into your escrow account because turns out you have to pay your premium prior to that policy canceling.
Well, how dare they?
Yeah, I know. So that's why you have a little bit, but you can't have a big slush fund in that escrow account. Not anymore. Used to, you could have a whole year's taxes, a whole year's insurance, several months in reserve besides that. But the legislature thought, well, that's just not right. You're not getting paid interest on that. So now there's regulations on that as to how much a lender can hold. Sometimes they have to rob Peter to pay Paul. The escrow account, if the insurance becomes due, they pay the insurance. And if the taxes become due and there's not enough money left in there, they still have to pay taxes. And then you start building up that fund again month by month. It just kind of depends on when those become due. And if they become due about the same time, the lender can't hold a whole year's worth in there.
And that goes into what Dean was talking earlier about with sometimes you have to make up and that number can jump tremendously.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest breakdown, I know we all live in a fast-paced 90-mile-an-hour environment, but that renewal goes to the homeowner prior, you know, probably 30 days prior to the lender receiving it. And that's where the consumer has got to open that renewal and go, okay, I've got my renewal from ABC. Yeah. Where was it 12 months ago? Where am I today?
Exactly.
It shouldn't be a surprise.
And if you have a good agent, I mean, I've got a great State Farm agent, Brad Russell, and he goes over that with me to be sure I'm insured for enough and that I'm not paying too much. We're going to return with more, and we're going to give us a call, 840-1000. Ask your question. I'll buy you lunch at Casa Perico's if you do. We'll return right after this break with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins.
And Mark Carr.
Dean Riddell.
And Matt McLean.
And Matt McLean over in the corner, hoping he doesn't have to say anything. Come on, Matt. You know, Matt's keeping us all informed during our break as to what
he was.
See. Yeah.
He was fact-checking us.
Fact-checking us. Okay. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to do a very small repair, or you can trust them to do a whole roof, whether it's residential or commercial. I've trusted them for quite some time. So call Robbins Roofing, 728-3700. Hey, I was testing you, Mark. You passed with flying colors. Yeah. 728-3700. Okay, our word today is, well, let's talk to Miss Ann and ask her. We've got a caller on the line that has a question. Let's let her decide what the word of the day is. Good morning, Ann.
Hi. Good. I was just calling to talk about the senior freeze.
Senior freeze, our word of the day. Ding, 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 ding. You get a free lunch at Casa Perico Mexican Grill.
Yay. Great.
All right. See, what is a senior freeze? Well, in Oklahoma County. Oh, go ahead.
I say I happen to have the form that they send out that you qualify for. From Larry Stein, and on the back of it, it says the senior valuation freeze. Senior citizens 65 and older earning up to $73,800 gross household income are eligible for the senior valuation freeze, which can reduce your property tax bill. This will freeze the taxable value of the property.
And that means your taxes quit going up, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great thing.
Unless I found out this the hard way. If you make over the amount, then you forfeit the freeze.
Well, I mean, that's good news, bad news, right?
Yeah.
That's absolutely correct. In Oklahoma, if you are 65 years or older and your household gross household income is $73,800 or less, then the value of your house can still go up, but they don't increase the taxable value of your house. It stays frozen and you pay taxes only on that. So then why can your taxes still go up a little bit if you're frozen?
I don't know that they go up a little bit. All I know is I qualified at one time, and then I made more money, and it disqualified me, so I was no longer frozen.
Well, and you have to do this just like homestead exemption between January and, I think, March. So you have to fill that out, and you can do it again, Anne, if your income goes down below that household threshold, then go ahead and apply for the senior freeze one more time.
So, I will do that.
Yeah, so that's good. Well, thank you for calling in, and Mike Gannon will get your information.
Well, thank you for a great program. Well, I listen every Saturday.
Oh, well, thank you for listening. That's awesome. Okay, so Senior Freeze.
Senior Freeze.
We got it covered. We know what it is now. And but now your taxes still can go up. Are you, because we as a society vote in increase in taxes. Fire and police protection, libraries, improvement on bridges or roads that are whatever. We vote in a millage increase, and typically that's more of a school thing where we vote to increase our own taxes because we want a better society and we want different things. And now that's not a whole lot, but our millage can go up, it can go down. Most of the time goes up.
I haven't seen too many taxes go down.
Yeah, but it's a minuscule change, yeah, compared to what the valuation,
right,
change is. What else goes into our escrow account, Dean?
Well, your PMI we touched on is not classified as an escrow item. It's part of that money that is included in their monthly payment that is cut out and remitted to a third party. Similar to your taxes and your insurance, your FHA MIP is in that PMI family. Again, it's not a what we call an escrow item because it's not tax or insurance related.
But it is included in your payment.
Correct.
So that amount is taken out, and as your mortgage balance decreases, your private mortgage insurance, your PMI, goes down.
Slowly.
Very slowly. It might go down a penny a year. But that's included in your payment, but is not an escrowed item. It's not like,
correct,
you're charged by the year and you have to pay a year in advance and then they pay it out to a third party.
Correct.
So, okay. So, tell me what else you want to talk about.
You know, a comment, well, we touched on PMI. A PMI question that we get daily, weekly, is I understand my PMI can go away at 80%. So the way the law is written at 80%, you can request, and that 80% is based on the lesser of the purchase price or appraised value when they purchased. So a consumer buys a home, purchases a home at 200. At the time of purchase, the appraisal was 220. That 80% rule falls off the $200,000 number, not the 220 appraised value at the time of purchase. The key thing with that is, Becky, your eyes are getting crossed on.
Yeah, well, I mean, and your the 220 would be 90% instead of 80%, right? Of 200.
No, I'm saying go downward. So at 80% of 200,000, so at 160.
Okay.
And it's not 80% of 220, it's 80% of 200,000. That was our purchase price, the lesser of the two. That PMI, you can request, keyword, request that PMI be canceled.
So if the property value goes up to 300, the PMI does not automatically drop,
correct,
off just because you're at 80% of the current value.
Correct.
Right?
But even go back to the time of purchase. Say you found a buyer a great deal. They purchased at 200. We did the appraisal and it came in at 220. They're not ahead of the game as related to PMI. PMI is always driven off the lesser of the lesser of the two, purchase price or appraised value. So at 160, when the balance hits 160,000, which is 80% of 200, they can request that PMI be canceled. What does request consist of? They pay for an appraisal. They contact the lender to say, my balance is 159.9. I want to request that my PMI be canceled. They have to pay for an appraisal for the lender to look at it, to evaluate it. Does it meet Fannie Freddie guidelines to where PMI can be canceled? The way the law is written, at 78% of the lesser of the two is when your PMI would go away. So it's misspoke every day that everyone thinks 80% is when PMI goes away. It's not automatic. Automatic at 78%.
Okay. of the purchase price or the appraised value at time of purchase,
whichever's less.
Wow. Okay. So
I learned something there. See, I thought it was just off appraisal. Mm-hmm. I thought it was off appraisal price.
Lesser of the two.
Yeah.
And the other question we get is, Becky sends me a buyer that says, I'm buying this at 200. It's worth 220. Do I need a down payment? Yeah. Down payment's always going to fall off the lesser of the two.
Yeah.
No, we'll get, listen, half of the offers we get in our office have, for the loan amount on the loan page of the contract form, it says exactly the same as the purchase price. Well, now, there's only one scenario where that can work, and that's on a VA loan.
Right.
Other than a VA loan, you need money down. So you can't borrow as much as you're purchasing the property for. Right. You need a down payment.
Right.
Get some skin in the game, folks. Well, we are here with Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage. If you want to talk to Dean yourself, you can just give him a call. 858-7770. The time, always you can go to BeckyIvins.com.
Click on favorites. You'll see a tab on the right on the top and towards the right-hand side that says Becky's Favorites. And if you are dealing with anything, dealing with your home, take a look there. We have some great people that just do fantastic work for us for years.
Well, my favorites list is kind of almost a little famous page because everybody loves the folks on my favorite list. And they're my favorites because they've done a good job for me for decades. Most of these people I've worked with for 20 years. You know, on average, I'm sure I've worked with them for 20 years. And they're people I trust because I know they'll do the right thing. So go to BeckyIvins.com. Or call me. You can just call my office, 722-3232. We've got some smoking hot deals. Well, I had a really good smoking hot deal until about 9 o'clock last night when it sold. So I've got an alternate smoking deal for you right when we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team.
Mark Carr, member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team.
There you go. I listen to Robin's Roofing jingle, and I just get happy when I hear that. It was a very fun day when that they did the commercial on that. They came out to our house and interviewed us, like, what's your experience with Robin's Roofing? And I'm going, well, which one? Because I called and said something to somebody in the office, and I said, I need to check on this roof that I had done. Now, what is your name? And I said, Becky Ivins. And they said, well, we have like over 100 that we've done for you. And they really were not all owned by me, but they were clients. So my experience with Robin's Roofing has been excellent. Dean, you're up. Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage.
You know, I was sitting here listening to the square footage and the sales price on Hefner Condo. It's fascinating what values have come today, and that will be gone today. I mean, that price point is something that if you dance around too long, half a day, it'll be gone.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's true. Our smoking hot deals typically go the same day I announce them. We're kind of on a roll on that. We're kind of testing to see how long we can hold that out, and it's been months. So,
pre-approval process to me is essential. It's critical. If you're thinking about, if you've been out driving neighborhoods, if you've been on Zillow or Becky's site, and thinking about.
Don't go on the Z word.
I just threw it out there.
I know the thing is, everybody does go on Zillow. It is not the most up-to-date information. To get the most up-to-date information, you need to go to our MLS, our multiple listing service right here in the metro. You can get to that. Just go to BeckyIvins.com, a live link in. When you do your search there, you're searching live in the MLS.
Get that pre-approval done. It is, it's the worst part you'll go through as far as on the loan process itself. But Matt and I both take the perspective of, you know, take the time, make the time. You don't have a house in mind yet. You're providing us a, Dean, we're looking between 200 and 250. Matt and I will use 250 because it's the worst case. We ask questions on down payment. I don't know if I'm going to put 10,000 or 20,000 down. We're going to put 10. But get the pre-approval done, which basically encompasses last two months' bank statements, all pages, two recent pay stubs, 401k statement, which is probably a most recent quarterly statement, last 2 years' tax returns and W-2s, all pages, any divorce decrees, should they apply, child support orders, should they apply, bankruptcy documents, you know, and on the bankruptcy documents, we've got to have all pages of the bankruptcy documents. It's just not the filing and just the discharge. We've got to know what was included in that bankruptcy.
Dean, can you get a home loan after you file bankruptcy?
So your timeline, and I always go to the FHA scenario, is you can, Chapter 7 is discharge of debt, and you can buy a home within 1 day after that 2 years from the date of discharge.
So 2 years and 1 day after discharge date of
Bingo.
Of a Chapter 7 bankruptcy,
correct,
you can buy a home again.
Chapter 13 bankruptcy, you can finance a home, you can buy a home while you're in a Chapter 13 bankruptcy.
Don't you have to have like a one-year record of
you
payments?
You have to be, Becky, I think you have to be halfway through the bankruptcy plan.
Okay.
Okay, and then we have to have a 12-month history showing you've been paying according to the plan, and the bankruptcy trustee has to approve it.
Can you buy a house after you've had a foreclosure in the past?
Yes, it's the past 4 years FHA and 5 years, I think, is on the conventional side.
I think VA might even be shorter.
If anything, it would be a three-year timeline,
yeah,
more so than a four.
So 3 or 4 years,
right,
3, 4, or 5 years, depending on the type of loan you're getting, after a foreclosure,
correct,
you can buy a house again.
Correct.
And get current rates and stuff. You're not even penalized for rate.
Right.
They look at your credit history, your recent credit history, so that you've recovered from whatever event caused that foreclosure or bankruptcy.
Correct. And on the Chapter 7 scenario, as I tell people, if you're 6 months out from that 2 year mark, start now. Let's see where your scores are. Let's see. So that you will be in the best spot you can be in.
And if you want a strong, strong pre-qualification letter, go to DeanRiddellHomeLoans.com. Just call our office or go to BeckyIvins.com. We're going to see you here next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK.